It had been a custom at Carnegie Mellon University to invite a professor to answer this question each year. What would you say if you knew you were going to die and had a chance to sum up everything that was most important to you? And that happened every year. But when they extended that invitation to Randy Pausch, professor of computer sciences, the question was not hypothetical. He had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and only had only a few months to live. But what's amazing during that time was he still did push-ups with one hand during that lecture at the end. But he talked about his childhood dreams of playing in the NFL, about writing an article for the encyclopedia. Yeah, you knew how long ago it was then. Living in zero gravity. But more than that, he wanted to leave a legacy for his children. He had three young children. And he realized that they might not remember him. So he wanted to leave this last legacy lecture for them. Well, that little lecture at Carnegie Mellon went viral. And because of that and that story, also there was a best-selling book called The Last Lecture about his legacy and his children remembering him. What we find in Genesis 48 and 49 and 50 is Jacob's last lecture. In these words, he seeks to pass along the blessings of God that have been bestowed upon him. If you want to open your Bibles this morning, you can look in Genesis 48, 49, and 50. And then also we will be going back into Hebrews chapter 11 and 13. But I think with this morning, we can look at three lessons that we can learn from his last lecture and his life. And I think the first one that we can learn is this. If you want to leave a lasting legacy, never make this world your home. Now, when we lived in northern Boston for 3 years when I was in seminary, it was a wonderful place to live. It had beautiful scenery. I mean, really a few miles from the ocean, not a couple hours. And it was a great atmosphere and a great place to raise our children for that 3 years. But you know what? During those 3 years, it never felt like home. Well, Jacob knew what it was like to be an alien. Because you know the story of Jacob, you know that for fear of his angry brother Esau, that he hid in exile for 20 years. And later in his life, because of the famine, he had to leave his God-given land and move to Egypt with his son Joseph. And in Hebrews 11, 13 through 15, we hear these words. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful, considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all these people were still living by faith when they died, talking about the ones before them. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things that show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So Jacob, like Abraham and others, knew deep down that there was something even better, a better land waiting for them, a heavenly country where God had prepared a city for them. And his faith, Jacob's faith, and many of the others before us, faith, was the idea that there's a better home, was part of their legacy. Time and time again in the Bible, we hear stories of people who live by faith in God's promises for the future, and that they are aliens and strangers in this world. Now, this week, I had one of these opportunities. And these are these opportunities that are just so amazing. These are these holy moments when you have time to talk with people. And I had one of those holy moments this week. I was talking to a person who mentioned that their time on this earth had had many ups and downs. And this person went through many of the stories. And these stories were some highlights, but many lowlights. And they were difficult. And as a person reflected on these, and I sat there for an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours, listening to some of these stories, and just not really responding, but listening to her. And then as she got towards the end, and she did a sort of a scan of her whole life, she goes, "You know, maybe I shouldn't say this," she goes. And I go, "No, it's okay, you can say anything." She goes, "I almost feel like a stranger in this world anymore. Is that okay to say, Pastor?" Yes, that's okay to say. It's biblical. And we start talking about some of these biblical stories of people longing for the eternal home. And she goes, "I am just longing for that eternal home." And when I was talking to her, when she was sharing that, it had me realize also in my own life. It was a chance for me to reflect. To me to reflect on my own life about what are the bonds of my heart. Where are the places I'm putting my roots down? What are the stories that I have to tell? What are my highlights and my lowlights? Do I feel like this is my home? Or am I longing for that eternal home? And at the end, she said, "I think it's okay for me to feel like a stranger in this world now. And I am longing for that eternal home." And I just wish, and I encourage her, to share these stories with people around her, with her children and grandchildren, that we need to hear these stories of legacy, these stories of people who have gone through a whole scan of their life. They have walked the journey, and the ups and the highlights and the lowlights. And at the end, as their life is in the twilight years, they claim that their legacy is for the future, for this future eternal home. And so I think one of the lessons we can learn is that our future, our legacy, is that we are strangers and aliens in this world. Now in Hebrews 11:21, we also read about Jacob says that he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Now let me just say those words again. He blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And I'm like, what does that mean? I'm trying to visualize that as he leaned on top of his staff. And I think maybe part of it is he's old, a time where he's in the twilight of his life, not much time left, and he needs to lean on something. But when we read the account of Jacob in Genesis 48, it doesn't seem like he's worshiping. I mean, if you read the story in Genesis 48, it doesn't seem like he's worshiping. But then we look at Genesis 48:15, and this is what we read. It says, "Then he blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys.'" And I thought about that. And I thought about that, what does that look like? And I thought, yes, that is worship. It is a worship. And here's what it is. The first thing we find in three of these areas is this. When he says, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. This is an experience of worship because understanding who his forefathers were and the ones who came before him is an act of worship. It's an act of worship and understanding that the God that is here today is the same God that was present before and the God that will be here tomorrow. And then he says, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. When Jacob tells a story that God has been my shepherd all of my days, and I encourage you this week, read the story of Jacob from the beginning to the end. You will understand the impact of what he says about being his shepherd. There was times, I know, where Jacob thought that God the shepherd was no longer there. There was times where he thought that staff that he had, when God had his staff and his shepherd, that it was no longer near him. And then the last thing he says, which I think is another act of worship, is this. The angel who has delivered me from all harm. Isn't that a moment of praise and worship to God? That he can acknowledge the angel who has delivered me from all harm? See, to me, it's not just music, it's not just a sermon. It's about worship to God, about understanding what he has done, his past and his future, and what he has done for all of us. See, these memories of God's faithfulness make it sound like Jacob maybe at times enjoyed a good life. But when Joseph introduced his father to Pharaoh in Egypt, Jacob summed up his life to Pharaoh with these words. It says this, my years have been few and difficult. I was like, wait a minute. You've had a lot of time, okay? Your years have not been few. And yes, they have been difficult, and he was in the midst of a famine. But Jacob's life had been marked by conflict, struggle, heartache, and sin. But he recalls back to the time when God had been his guardian angel. He recalls back to the time when God reconciled Jacob to Esau. He recalls back to the time, hopefully, when Jacob, who was feared, attacked by his neighbors, the Bible says that the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. You see, when Jacob now comes to this chapter, his last lecture, in his old age, even when his eyes are failing him, he sees God's faithfulness, and he worships God for the way that God has been faithful to them. And so I think the second thing that we learned from Jacob is if you want to leave a lasting legacy, remember God's constant faithfulness to you. How do we do that? How can you find ways to remember the faithfulness of God? Maybe we need to be reminded. Maybe instead of just looking at the ways where God has let us down, where he has felt like he has not been there, maybe we need to have a recall button. Somehow we need to recall and put a tape in our minds to look at the times where God has been faithful. And when we do, we study people like Jacob and others. We should retrace their stories. We should restate the stories of people around us. In Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, we hear these words. It tells us to remember those who have led us. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then it goes on, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Some of you may have heard the breaking news. Some of you haven't. But Ken Eshelman has just completed a book about his father's ministry in Virginia, where he led churches and ministries. And even one of those ministries that's part of his book is the foundation and starting and helping of the Lao ministry in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Now, I can imagine, I've talked to Ken a little bit, but I can imagine that as he was completing this book, as he was doing chapter after chapter and interviewing people and understanding more and more about his father's ministry, that he heard stories of faithfulness. He heard stories of disappointments. He heard stories where things were maybe not as easy. He heard stories where things did not go exactly as he had hoped. But I believe by Ken completing this book and listening to other people and gathering all this information, that he has studied his father, and that has left a lasting legacy for him, and I believe for many others in that community. And I thought about that. Well, maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should retrace some of the stories of our own church here. See, maybe, just maybe, some of you need to take a little walk. Okay, not a little walk, a little car drive. Car drive? That didn't make sense. A little road trip to go see Norman Zimmerman and to listen to some of his stories about how things happened here at the church. You see, the church was not always like it is today, believe it or not. There was a lot of things that happened. And I would encourage you sometime, as part of this legacy of this church, to be encouraged to listen to Norman talk about some of the struggles, the ups and the downs, the highlights and the lowlights, and some of the ways that he sees today God's faithfulness. And God's faithfulness to him and God's faithfulness to this church. Maybe some of you ought to talk to Joe Weaver and some others in this church. You can hear their stories. You can hear the stories and the legacy that they want to give, that maybe we can understand that more fully. And I believe if you listen to Joe and you listen to Norman and you listen to some others, Agnes and others in the church, and maybe others who aren't quite as old as them, though they're still relatively young, is this. I think you will hear loud and clear, in the midst of the highlights and the lowlights, I think you will hear loud and clear God's faithfulness to them and to this church. See, like Jacob, and like Norman, and like Joe, and like many others, we must remember how God has been our guardian angel. We must remember the times where we didn't think we were going to get through. We must remember the times where we thought we have failed God miserably. And all at once in the midst of that, through we got over that hump, and we see on the other side, we saw God's faithfulness. See, maybe like Jacob and like Norman and Joe and others, maybe we have to understand, and the legacy that we can leave is tell the story that he has delivered us from all harm. And see, not like Jacob, maybe, who was delivered by in the form of an angel, but for many of us, in the form of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivered us and redeemed us and loves us. And one of my favorite verses in Jacob's story is found in Genesis 48, 15 and 16. And after I read Jacob's story this week, I panned his whole life. When I came to chapter 48, 15 and 16, these verses brought a chill to me. Because I had read a little bit, I tried to live into Jacob's life. And this is what it says. It says, Then Jacob blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my day to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth." With all the worn out tread of Jacob's life. With all of the things that have happened in his life, as it comes to this very important moment in his life where he has the opportunity to bless these two boys and then also blessing his sons. You see, I think the third thing is the greatest blessing that we can leave our children is a certain hope in God's promises. The kind of blessing that Jacob gave here was sort of a God-given inheritance, yes, but was a passing on of God's promises to the next generation. See, the blessing that Jacob passed on to these boys was not one of these money-in-the-bank type blessings, not a coattail blessing, so to speak, but that promises from God could be their promises also if they believe. And I thought about us. I thought about us parents, grandparents, spiritual mothers and fathers. And I thought, well, we do the same thing, don't we, when we bless our children. We can bless our children whether they realize it or not when we love Jesus more than anything else in the world. When we speak longingly of heaven, not as something that, shh, don't talk about that. When we show them how much we do not want them to conform to this world, and we tell stories of how that impacted our own lives. So we bless them when we love our Christian brothers and sisters, when they see our treasures and the treasures of God's word in our lives, when we submit our desires to the Lord Jesus. See, when we bless our children by setting before them a certain hope that God has prepared a city for us. And then I thought about my own blessing. I thought about God's blessing on my own life. What did that look like? And I thought back, though I don't remember it, but I thought back to the moment where I was dedicated as a child. The first blessing that I received was a blessing of dedication in front of a church family that said things like, we are going to help nurture and raise up this child in the church. I was one of those people that, one of those little babies that were there that was dedicated. My first blessing that was spoken to me probably. See, that blessing was also shaped by these many Sunday school teachers who probably at times didn't think I was were very well behaved. Who probably thought there was times that I was not very lovable. Who's always pushing out the envelope in Sunday school and other times. Who ran around the church when it wasn't okay to run around the church. See, I was shaped by these Sunday school teachers, by mentors who loved me. I was shaped by many friends who sent us money when we were in seminary. And the blessing, each blessing it was to open up that envelope, not expecting anything, and then finding a check or some money or to say they're praying for us. That was leaving a legacy. Or my mother and father, as flawed as they were, and as flawed as I was shaped by them. My grandparents and both of my grandpas, who did not live very long in life, but lived life well while they were here. And my grandma Ank, who the many, many times until she was 100 years old, and from 80 to whatever, 90 some, I would spend time with her, would eat lunch with her, and she'd feed me way too much food, and then complain that I wasn't eating enough. And I had to go back to work and try to stay awake the next couple hours. And I remember the stories of my grandma Ank, who would tell me stories of her life. Tell me stories of some of the struggles. Tell me the stories of how they started Black Rock for Black Rock Camp for inner city kids in Philadelphia and New York City. And the struggles of that. And how they started a meat stand, and how the struggles of that business went, and some of the joys and some of the difficulties. And I'd sit there eating those meals with Grandma at 85 to 90 to 92. And I would hear her stories. And they weren't just stories. They were blessings. She was leaving me a legacy of blessings. And I didn't even realize it when I was sitting there many times until years later I reflected upon that. You see, those people and those experiences in my own life have made God real to me. When Grandma Ank would say, "Lynn, I pray for you every day," that's a blessing. That is an absolute blessing. That's part of the legacy that has been shaped by so many that have gone before me. You see, we who are parents and spiritual mothers and fathers have prayed as Jacob prayed. May the God before whom our fathers walked, the God who has been our shepherd, the God who has delivered us from all harm, may he bless these boys and these girls. May we live in that blessing and pass it on to the next generation. I am so thankful that like Jacob and like Norman and Joe and many, many others and my family and those have gone before me, that they have passed on a legacy of blessing to me and to all of you. And that to me is something very special that I treasure, and I hope you treasure also. And so if you're younger, listen. If you're older, tell. Tell the stories. Leave the legacy. Let people know that heaven is your earth, is your home, not here on earth. Leave a blessing by telling stories of God's faithfulness. And the thing about God's faithfulness is this. It's not always the mountaintops. It's the story of God's faithfulness in the valleys that sometimes are the most important to hear. And then lastly, as we leave the blessing, don't forget that the legacy we leave is God's constant promises that he bestowed between Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of us. And when we leave this earth, I pray that we have left a legacy, a blessing of those we come in contact with. Let us pray. Lord, we have such a rich legacy that started thousands and thousands of years ago. And Lord, we thank you for the stories of your holy word that give us insight in that legacy. The different blessings of the Old Testament and the blessings of the New Testament. The blessings by guardian angels and the angels of the Lord in the Old Testament and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the New. Lord, I pray as we continue as this church family, we are reminded of our opportunity and our responsibility to leave a legacy of blessing to our children and our grandchildren, and a legacy of blessing to people within this church body. Lord, I thank you for those who have impacted my life. Thank you to those who have given a blessing legacy for my life. And Lord, I pray and thank you for those who have left a legacy, a blessing for these people here today. And may they not take it too lightly. In Jesus' name, amen.